Today we're starting week 5 of the series that we've entitled Better Together. When we kicked off this series 4 weeks ago, we found out that we were designed to be in a relationship with both God and each other. You were made to relate. 3 weeks ago, we looked at that our relationships that we have in our lives should help us grow closer to God, that we shouldn't have our relationships eclipse God, but they should help us grow closer to God. And 2 weeks ago, we learned that great relationships are not fight-free, but they fight right by working things out. And last week, we asked a question, why are we so quick to quit relationships? And we said, we're going to stick it out, that we are fully known by Jesus, and yet he still loves us. He knows all our flaws, everything we do wrong, and he says, I still want you. And that we should take that approach, his example, to our relationships. And if you missed any one of these sermons, these messages on this Better Together, we do keep audio of them on our website. If you go to findfocus.org, you'll see it there, and you can catch up on any of those messages that you missed. Now today's focus is this. We're asking the question, how many times must I forgive somebody? If you came today looking for hope, for peace, for purpose, for focus to your life, then I've got some good news. There is hope found in Jesus. And at the end of this message, I'm going to give you an opportunity to receive that hope today. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. Today we're going to be reading out of the New Living Translation, so you can use your physical Bibles, you can use the Bible app on your phone. You just want to change the translation if you're using the Bible app to NLT at the top. So Matthew chapter 18, and we've actually already been in this chapter once before in this series, and we'll explain that in just a second, but we've got a resource for you to be able to follow along with this message. When you came in today, you should have received a bulletin, and inside your bulletin there are some message notes with some fill-in-the-blanks, and they'll help you as you follow along. They'll help you know when we're actually going to be over speaking. And they also are a resource that you can use somewhere later on this week to where you can reread what we read and relook at what we're saying here. Find out for yourself what the Bible says. Just don't trust my word for it as your pastor. Now, let's set up what's happening here. In Matthew chapter 18, Jesus got done talking about a plan for how you fight right. A plan for if you've got a disagreement with somebody, what should you do about it? And we learned a few weeks ago as we looked at this that the first thing we're supposed to do is to go talk to somebody. If you've got a problem, then go talk to them. Yet this sounds so simple, yet it's so profound because we talk to everyone else but the person we have a problem with. And then we share it all over social media, right? But Jesus said, talk to the person. And if they won't listen to you, then you go find a friend and you guys go together. And if that doesn't work, then go involve the church. Bring the pastor in. Bring a life group leader in and talk together. But try to work things out. And it's in this context that we get to our passage of what's happening here today. After Jesus just explained, this is how we handle conflict, Matthew 18. Remember that, Matthew 18, conflict. We have Peter who decides to ask Jesus a question. So we're reading Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22, and it says this, then Peter came to him, Jesus, and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? No, not 7 times, Jesus replied, but 70 times 7. Let's pray. God, I pray that in the next few moments as we unpack your word for today, that you would change us. That you would speak to us, that each person who has experienced forgiveness and unforgiveness, God, I pray that there would be a breakthrough today in this area as you speak to our hearts and you speak to our minds. Don't let us leave today the same as when we came in. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. So there was a lady who wanted a pet, so she went to a store and she got a pet parrot. And this pet parrot was terrible. Because every time she tried to pick up this parrot, it would peck her on the arm, and it would hurt. But that wasn't all. Every time she was near this parrot, the parrot would talk to her and yell insults at her. One day, this lady just had enough with this pet. So she went to pick it up, and what does this parrot do? Starts pecking at her arm and starts saying things like, "You're ugly! You're terrible! I don't want to be with you anymore!" The lady had enough, so she took this parrot. She opened up the freezer door of her fridge and whoop, pew, and shut the fridge. She listened, and the parrot's still talking from inside the fridge. You're terrible. I don't like you. You're ugly. Did that for about 5 seconds, and then it was complete silence. And the lady's like, oh, no. I think I just killed the parrot. So she opens up the door of the freezer, and there's the parrot just looking at her. And she reaches in to pull the parrot out, and the parrot just comes really nicely onto her hand, doesn't say a thing, and then looks at her and says, I am so sorry. Please forgive me. I will be obedient and be really nice from now on, I promise. Will you forgive me? And the lady's overwhelmed. She's like, wow, what a change. Yes, I forgive you. To which the parrot replied, I just have one question for you. What did the chicken do wrong? Huh. How many of you have known somebody who said, I will not forgive someone? You've met somebody and they are just adamant, I am not going to forgive. Okay. How many of you would be honest enough to say, you know, I've had a situation in my life where it was really hard to forgive someone. Yeah. And why is that? Why is it hard to forgive? Well, because usually if we're in a position to have to forgive somebody, that means we just got hurt and we just got wronged and something bad just happened to us. And usually the person who has transgressed or done these things to us won't even say they're sorry. Sometimes we want to take it and say, whoa, I know you're trying to say I'm sorry, but this was just too big and too much. I'm done. I'm not forgiving you. This happens all the time in our relationships. We find it hard to forgive. Either we refuse to forgive somebody, or they have just done the unthinkable, or they don't deserve forgiveness, or they won't even say they're sorry, and they have no remorse for what they did, and why forgive somebody? And that's what we're asking here today. How many times do we have to forgive somebody? Because here's what also happens. If we can bring ourselves to forgive someone, well, guess what usually happens again? They do something else, right? Well, I wasted a forgiveness on them. Why should I do it again? They're just going to hurt me again. Now, if we look at the story, these two verses that we just read in Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22, we have Peter asking Jesus a question. And if we use our imagination to try to just think of what is the scenario that's possibly going on here. You can be a detective with me, and we can say, you know what? Probably Peter has somebody close to him who was doing something wrong to him. Would you agree with me? Yeah, probably. Okay? And probably he's doing it over and over. And Peter's having to say, I'm having to forgive you again. I'm having to forgive you again. How many times do I have to do this? I mean, I know I'm really tight with Jesus. I got to kind of be like him and all. We're in relationship together. Does this change how I treat my friend, my brother, my coworker, and how they're hurting me? They're not even sorry. How many times do I need to forgive them? And that's probably how we usually approach this passage. That we say, wait, Peter is just trying to figure out, can I stop at a certain point? But if we were to dig down deeper and say, you know what, they're in a culture that existed 2,000 years ago, and it was the Jewish culture. Is there anything in that culture that applies to what Peter is asking Jesus? And there's actually a very big thing. Because in Jewish law at the time, it was written in there to say, forgive somebody up to 3 times, then don't do it anymore. And that's how they operated. Forgive somebody 3 times and don't do it anymore. And so with that in mind, if we relook at the scripture, what Peter is asking, Peter's actually trying to be generous. He's actually trying to think, what would Jesus do in this situation? He's saying, okay, well, the law says we got to do it three times, and I just heard what he told me with this passage in Matthew 18, right? How we got to help work on conflict. So it must be, he's trying to be the smarty pants and the teacher's pet, actually, in this situation, saying, hey, Jesus, I think I know the answer to this. If somebody does something against me, how many times should I forgive them? And he takes the three, multiplies it by two, and gives an extra one for sprinkles on top, right? For seven times, right? Seven times we should forgive him, right? And Jesus blows his mind with the answer. See, Peter's thinking, is it three? Is it seven? What's the number? And what we have in this passage, in this situation, is that Jesus is establishing a new standard for forgiving again and again. It's something we need to know. Jesus was establishing a new standard, not what the law says of, hey, you're three and done. See, he said, we're going to do some math. It's funny that Jesus just couldn't come up with an answer and say, oh, you know, 490 times is how many times you should forgive your brother. He had to make it hard, huh? And to say, okay, fisherman who has no college education, let me reply to your really smart question with a hard math problem. 70 times 7. We're doing math here. Do you think Jesus' point was for Peter to do math? Do you think he was going for effect? Probably. Because, you know, we can look at that and say, okay, well, Jesus himself just established the new guidelines for how often we should forgive, and it wasn't three, it wasn't seven, but it was actually 70 multiplied by seven times, which equals 490. That's right, 490. And we can look at that for what it is and say, oh, okay, now I know how I need to operate with my brother, my sister, my coworker, my friend, my relative, my in-law, my outlaw. Okay, we need to say, oh, I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. Whoa, hold up. We're on 488 now. You're getting close to your threshold. Kind of like when your cell phone gets done with its data, they're about to charge you more. Yeah. But see, that's not what this is about. What Jesus was really talking about was forgiveness isn't about the other person. It's about you. I want you to find a blank spot on your notes. Find something to write with. There's pens in those black plastic baskets. This is something you need to write because it's not in there, but it's probably the most important thing we can possibly say about the subject. What Jesus was trying to get across to Peter, it's this point that forgiveness isn't about the other person. It's about me. Forgiveness isn't about the other person. It's about me. And why is that? Well, Jesus proceeds to tell Peter a story. It's one of his parables. And a parable just means a made-up story, a fictional story to explain a God truth. So Jesus just answered Peter and said, hey, the answer is 70 times 7, but he wasn't really saying, hey, 490 times. He was saying, you need to forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive again. And he shares a story, and I'm going to give you a brief summary, but you write down that you want to continue, and you want to read this story in Matthew chapter 18. Starts with verse 23. Do it at home. Do it sometime this week. Read this story, the words he used for self. But here's the brief, short version of the story. So there was a guy who owed like $1 million to a guy. The guy said, hey, it's time to pay for it. He said, I have no money. He says, I'm throwing you in jail. He says, please, 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 please don't make me pay it back. Please give me more time and everything. And the guy felt sorry for him and said, okay, I forgive you of your debt. Woo! He's happy and excited. He no longer has this $1 million payment he's got to make. And while he's celebrating, going down the street, he sees a friend who owes him $10. He says, hey, dude, $10. You owe me. You never pay. If you don't pay, I'm going to have you thrown in jail until you pay. The guy says, hey, please, 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 give me some more time. Give me some more time. I'll get you your money. And the guy says, nope. It's time to call the popo 911. It's time to arrest these guys, throw them in jail. Has him thrown into jail because he couldn't pay. Now, servants of the original master found out what this person had just done. He reported to the master. The master called in the first person who was the debtor who owed $1 million, who had it all forgiven, and said, dude, is this true what you just did? And he said, yes, it is. He said, you don't get the picture here. I forgave you a lot. How could you not pass on forgiveness? And he said to the person, he said, you now owe me more than $1 million, and I'm throwing you in jail. And Jesus' whole point of the story was to say, hey, you forgive because you've been forgiven. You forgive because you've been forgiven. It has nothing to do with what has transgressed. It has nothing to do with what has happened. It has nothing to do with what the other person did, whether they're sorry or not. We forgive because we've been forgiven. My wife and I are kind of trying to figure out a new way to really get to know our city. And so we've decided that we're going to travel around the area and try to find the best hole-in-the-wall places to eat. And you can follow our journey on Facebook that we're finding places, and we'll put a recommendation of whether or not that's a cool place. But we're saying this is our dates, what we're going to do. We got to eat, right? So let's find some cool places that are neat to find. And as we're driving around Madison this week, as we're looking for a new place to go, and we see some banners hanging up on some buildings. You might have seen these banners before, too. But they seem to permeate a lot of church-style buildings in the Madison area, and it goes something like this. All means all. Some of them even say all still means all. And sometimes the background of the banner is multicolored. Anybody know what I'm talking about? They've seen something like that? Okay. I looked at that, and I'm like, huh. It just got me thinking. I'm thinking, wait, they're really trying to look at inclusiveness here. And I'm thinking, what's the biblical background for how they're doing this? Wow, this is their message of what they're saying at this particular location. And I thought, I'm like, God, what's the scripture? And it came to me, Romans. It's in Romans 3:23 where he addresses all. That the inclusiveness is not whether or not you can come into this building. The inclusiveness is that all have sinned and we all fall short of God's glory. This lumps everyone in the same boat. There is no one better than, there's no one perfect. There's nobody who has done it better than anyone else. Everyone, all does mean all in the sense that all have messed up. You see, why we need to forgive is because we all need forgiveness. Every one of us. No one is above this. We have all messed up. We all fall short of God's perfect standard. It doesn't matter how long you have followed Jesus. It doesn't matter how long you've been to a church. It doesn't matter who your mom or who your dad is or who your grandpa is or what your lineage and what your heritage is. It doesn't matter. All of us need forgiveness. My oldest son is getting ready to go to college. He's trying to figure out where he's going. And when you start thinking about college, there's a college-type word that comes up when you're trying to pick what classes you're going to take. And this big word is called a prerequisite. A prerequisite is just one of those big words that simply means, before you can do this, you've got to do this. And in terms of schooling, it usually is applied to classes. Before you can take Math 301, you have to have accomplished Math 201. You cannot move on to Math 301 unless you have finished and done Math 201, a prerequisite to move on. And we just talked about that we all need forgiveness, and that's our first reason for why we should forgive, but our second reason for forgiving is that forgiving others is a prerequisite for our own forgiveness. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, it says this, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. So one, we just established that we all need forgiveness. All means all of us. We need forgiveness. But now there's something we have to do in order to receive the forgiveness. We have to forgive. The prerequisite, the thing we've got to do first before we can receive forgiveness, we have to forgive. Now notice that in the scripture here, it's just black and white. It's just saying, hey, this is what you're supposed to do. There's no clauses in here that says, yeah, but unless your story is really bad. Unless, man, they really wronged you. Unless they really slandered you. Unless they really abused you. Or yes, they really hurt you. If they did something really bad, then, hey, we're going to give you a pass on this one. And this is kind of hard to swallow. Because we all, almost everyone in this room, raise their hand that there has been a point in our lives where it's been hard to forgive somebody for what they've done to me. Let's take a look at some people and some different examples on what God is asking us to forgive that's happened to them. No matter what has happened to us, we're supposed to forgive. And that is the prerequisite, what needs to happen for us to go. That's not saying, hey, as long as they're sorry, as long as they mean it, as long as they've had a change of heart, as long as it doesn't matter. This is about you. Remember we said, it's right in your margins, that forgiveness is about you. It's what you need. This is about you, not about the person. It's not saying that you're saying, oh, it's okay. It's not that. It's not saying, oh, we exonerate you. It's not that. It's not, oh, well, I think you're not guilty of whatever you did to me. Oh, no, I didn't hurt, really. It's not saying those things. It's saying, I can forgive you because God's forgiven me. It is about you and giving forgiveness. It's a one-sided thing. They don't have to accept it. They don't have to be, I'm sorry. But it doesn't matter what they've done. It's about you making the decision that I'm going to forgive. I'm not going to hold on to it. Because when we hold on to forgiveness, if you could imagine just for a second with me, a large backpack, a duffel sack right now, just filled with rocks. And when somebody hurts you, it's like you've taken this backpack of rocks and you slung it over your shoulder. And you've got this weight that's weighing you down. And you're holding it. And you've got to be able to release that weight. But we kind of take the warped sense of saying, ha, I'm going to show you. I'm going to hold on to this weight. I'm going to hold on to this bag. It's going to weigh me down. I'll show you. I'm going to show you. I'm going to make you suffer because I'm not going to forgive you. Wait, but what are you holding on to? The weight. In order to experience healing, you've got to first forgive. You've got to take the backpack off. And set it down, saying, I'm not carrying this anymore. So, the third and final reason as to why we should forgive. We forgive those who don't deserve it because we don't deserve it. We forgive those who don't deserve it because we don't deserve forgiveness. We have a God in heaven who says, I want to forgive you, yet we have done nothing to earn that forgiveness. That is grace and mercy on his part. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to each other, be tender-hearted, forgive one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. A few years ago, there was a song that came out, written by Matthew West. It's called Forgiveness. Very powerful song. And the song in and of itself just describes this idea of that we should forgive no matter what. It follows what Jesus was teaching us. But then Matthew made a video to describe why he wrote this song and what's the real story behind it. And they put together a well-done video of a story that inspired this idea of we need to forgive just as God has forgiven us. This video is going to take just a little while, but you're going to get the impact. And while you're watching this, I want you to ask yourself two questions. Could I do what the woman in this video does? Could I do that? And secondly, God, is there something you're trying to tell me through what's being said on the screen today? Let's take a look at the story behind the song, Forgiveness.
This one story in particular has had a profound impact on me. It's about a woman who did the impossible, and it made me ask myself if I could do the same. Renee had four kids. Two of her daughters were twins. Megan was coming home from the beach one night with her best friend when their car was struck by a drunk driver named Eric, a 24-year-old kid. Megan lost her life. Eric killed both girls that were in the car. Renee lost her daughter in an instant.
Megan is a very joyful child and had a heart of gold, beautiful, loved people, loved her family, just a joy of my life. And when she was 20 years old, on May 11th, 2002, my sister-in-law came to the door to tell me that Megan had been in a car accident and she didn't make it. You know, my heart was so broken, and I looked at her and said, no, you're kidding. And you know, still looking for her to tell me that this is not really true, that Megan wasn't coming back home.
Next thing she knows, she finds herself in a courtroom watching this young man, this 24-year-old man, get sentenced to 22 years in prison. After Renee lost her daughter, she said she found herself in the darkest place she'd ever been. This guy Eric was behind bars, but she said she felt like the prisoner. Why? Because she had all this bitterness and hatred built up towards that young man. And so she reached out and did the impossible. She reached out to Eric in prison and said, I forgive you. The ripple effects of that act of forgiveness are still being felt today. That young man's life was absolutely changed because this woman forgave him. He said, I can't even forgive myself, and she forgave me. One by one, all of Renee's family members followed her lead, and they reached out and expressed forgiveness to Eric. So much so that now they describe Eric as part of their family, like a son to Renee. The story doesn't stop there though. Renee went to the courts along with her family, and she was able to have Eric's sentence cut in half from 22 years to 11 years.
He told me that day, the day of the hearing, that it didn't matter at this point. He said, you know, if the judge does not grant this for me, I want you to know that I am so grateful that you are willing to do this. And he said, and I will be okay. He said, I'll be fine. But he was blown away by the fact that we were willing to go before the judge and you know, plead for him to not have to be there for 22 years.
It's the hardest thing to give away, the last thing on your mind today, and it always goes to those who don't deserve. It's the opposite of how you feel when the pain they cause is just too real. Takes everything you have to say the word forgiveness.
I was more than angry at Eric. I had so much rage inside of me, and yet the moment that I was able to look Eric in his eyes and tell him that I forgive him, you know, that was a moment that healing began for both of us.
It's always anger's own worst enemy. And even when the jury and the judge say you got a right to hold a grudge, it's the whisper in your ear saying set it free. Forgiveness.
A judge and a jury telling you that it's okay to hold a grudge. You know, that's what the world says. It's okay for you to feel that way, which it is. But yet, those feelings, they're inside of you, eating away at you, and you don't want to live your life that way.
Forgiveness. Show me how to love the unlovable. Show me how to reach the unreachable.
There are people who are not going to ever have someone say to them, I'm sorry for what I did, or I take responsibility for what I did, and you still have to forgive if you want to heal.
It can even set a prisoner free. There is no end to what its power can do. So let it go and be amazed by what you see through eyes of grace. The prisoner that it really frees is you. Forgiveness.
You're not letting go of what happened. You know, it is wrong. It should never have happened. It is not okay. It doesn't mean that you're canceling any of that out. But once you are able to say those words and truly mean it, you know, then you do find that you're setting a prisoner free, and the prisoner truly is you.
Show me how to love the unlovable. Show me how to reach the unreachable.
Chapter 6, verse 37, Jesus sums it up by saying this: forgive others, and you will be forgiven. I'd like you to bow your heads and close your eyes this time. Whether you have dealt with it, whether you are in it, or whether you're going to be in it, we're going to have to deal with this issue of people hurting us, of doing something that is unforgivable, something that is just so wrong that shouldn't have happened. And yet here we're challenged to say we're supposed to forgive, that it's not about what they did, it's about me, it's about my relationship with God. I forgive because God forgives me. I want God's forgiveness. I need God's forgiveness. And so the thing I've got to do first is forgive. We're not saying that it's easy. We're talking about advanced following Jesus here. Forgiveness. It will set you free. So God, right now, I pray for each person that is in this room. Lord, wherever they are at with relationship with others in regards to something that's happened to them, something they need to forgive somebody for, God, I pray that eyes would be open today. God, that determination would set in, that there's something that needs to take place, that something needs to change. There are people in this room, I believe, that it's time to stop lugging around the backpacks full of rocks. And it's time to let it go. I believe, God, that you've got breakthroughs for people here today. We were singing about that earlier. There's a breakthrough coming. There's a promise. And here is a promise from you, God, that if we forgive, you'll forgive us. We all need your forgiveness. And we forgive not because of what they've done, but because of who you are and what you're doing for us. Help us, God. Open our eyes to what this means. Thank you, God, for your forgiveness. I invite you just to talk to him for a moment. He hears your thoughts. He hears your prayers. He knows you fully. We talked about this last week. He knows everything about you. He knows what's happened to you. But now it's time to talk to him and tell him where you're at. Tell him what you need. Tell him what you want. Tell him, I need help forgiving this person. I need help forgiving this situation. I want to move on, God. I want a breakthrough that you have promised. Claim that from him today. This is his promise. If you'll forgive, he'll forgive you. Thank you, God, for hearing our prayers, for giving us the strength to do the impossible, to forgive, not because someone deserves it, but because we need your forgiveness. Thank you for hearts that you are healing right now, for lives that you are changing even right now, for relationships that are about to change in the next few moments, in the next few days, in the next few weeks. As breakthroughs start happening, we give you all honor and all glory. We thank you for what you are doing. Thank you for this breakthrough. In Jesus' name. You may be here today, and maybe you don't really know why you came, but God knows. You're looking for something. You need something. You've been missing something in your lives. I've got good news for you. What I talked about at the very beginning of this message, that there is hope. Hope is found in Jesus. And that he is ready to forgive. He wants you. He wants to be in relationship with you. He wants you to be a part of his family. He wants to bring peace and restoration and hope and purpose to your life. See, God thought you were worth it. He thought you and him were better together. That's why he put together a plan to say there's got to be a way. Someone still has to pay the price for everything you've done. And it had to be somebody who was absolutely perfect. And that was his son. In John chapter 3, Jesus describes that God loved you so much. He loved everyone on this planet so much that he sent his son. That whoever believes in him will not spend all of eternity apart from God, but will have everlasting life with him. That he didn't send his son to show us just how bad we are. Rather, he sent his son that through him we could experience salvation. We could be saved from all that we have done and all of who we are. So you may say, Pastor, I need that hope today. I want to make that change today. I've been running my life as if I've been in charge, trying to figure it out by myself, trying to be smart enough to try to work hard enough, and I still fall short and I still mess up. I'm telling you, it's a decision to say, God, I need you. God, I want you. And I believe that you loved me so much that you sent your son Jesus to pay the price for me, to die for me. And you say, God, I'm giving you control of my life. I want to live for you. Give me hope. Give me purpose. Bring focus to my life. And with a simple prayer just like that, it becomes day one of a new life. A life that we can't even imagine, a freedom we walk in to experience God's forgiveness and God's grace, God's love, God's purpose, God's direction, to be a part of His family and this family. It can be yours today. So I'm going to give you that opportunity. While everyone still has their head bowed and their eyes closed, I want to ask you if you'll let me know as your pastor to say, Pastor, will you pray for me? I want to make that decision for Jesus. Just raise your hand right now. Show me so I can pray for you. Thank you. And so I'm going to invite you to pray, repeating after me, and we're all going to pray here together because no one prays alone here at Focus Church. Let's say, Dear God, I'm sorry for everything I've done. I know You love me so much, You sent Your Son, Jesus, to pay the price for me. I'm tired of doing it myself. I want You in charge. I want to be a part of Your family. Give me focus. Give me purpose. Bring hope into my life. Bring joy. In Jesus' name, amen.